Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Kamlan. Kamlan is a post-apocalyptic urban fantasy podcast inspired by folklore and Arthurian legends. It's written and directed by Ella Watts, who you may know from her work from Doctor Who Redacted and Eliza, A Robot Story, and produced by Amber Devereaux at Tin Can Audio. Y'all, this is one of my favorite new podcasts. I am so excited for you to hear it. It's tightly written with mythic weight and personal stakes and just absolutely gorgeous sound design. Go subscribe to Kamlan, that's C-A-M-L-A-A-N, wherever you're listening to this, and stay tuned at the end of the episode for a trailer for the show. Hello, Jeffrey here. Today we're excited to bring you something very different from Unwell, a sampler from Season 1 of the actual play podcast Starship Tempest. Starship Tempest is a production that blurs the line between actual play podcast and traditional audio drama. It's a role-playing game set in the Star Trek universe in between the original series and Next Generation eras. The show features a group of friends whose history of performing together dates back nearly 20 years and features a number of artists who I'm sure you'll recognize from Unwell and Our Fair City. So, enjoy this sampler from Season 1 of Starship Tempest and go catch up on the complete season to get ready for their Season 2 launch in January 2022.
Space. The final frontier. These are the missions of the Starship Tempest. Set between Captains Kirk and Picard, five friends stumble their way through their first role-playing game as the crew of this Federation starship, exploring strange new worlds, keeping peace in the galaxy, defending their keyboards from kids and cats, and going clumsily, if not boldly, where no one has gone before. Captain's Log Supplemental. Repairs are proceeding on the Ellesmere, though it remains trapped in the neutral zone under the shadow of a Romulan warbird. Dr. Teal has begun to suspect foul play in the death of the Ellesmere captain, but if that is indeed the case, the culprit and their motives remain a mystery.
I was about to go see if there's a zombie captain in there.
Or a Romulan agent is what this captain is thinking.
I mean, or that. Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, the dead captain is a Romulan agent.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you make your way next door into Cargo Bay 3. You find Captain Blake in amongst the dozens of dead bodies, all covered in sheets.
I also shudder a little bit because this is creepy.
Yeah, it's not a great situation.
Can they all at the same time sit up with each other?
Ew.
In Cargo Bay 3, for some reason, there's a single bare bulb hanging from the ceiling, which is swinging back and forth.
And flickering.
And flickering. But you find the captain. She has obvious head trauma. If you'd like to run your autopsy, it'll take 15 minutes to do with your tricorder, and it'll be a control or insight and medicine.
Insight and medicine.
And Nurse Cat can assist?
Difficulty?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah.
So it's difficulty 3. You do have all of your momentum.
Okay, I'm going to spend a momentum as well.
And then I don't know if you have any focuses that help in this situation.
I mean,
grave robbing.
Medicine.
Grave robbing.
Grave robbing.
Grave rob.
Medicine, biology, composure.
No, because you're not actually administering medicine.
But biology.
Yeah, biology works.
Studying the human body, it's biology.
Study of life, not death.
It's iffy, but I'll give it to you.
All right.
Success.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So
tell me all the things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
dead. Brian just says dead.
she dead. She's super dead. No, she definitely has lots of head trauma, which is consistent with what you know already. However,
which is that she's dead.
And that head trauma occurred post-mortem. So that happened after she died. You also notice some marks around her neck.
It's a Vulcan neck pinch, is the doctor.
That are consistent with strangulation. And then there's also some burns on her face from a nearby explosion.
It's that sketchy doctor. I think she was killed, then the ship was taken purposefully into the neutral zone.
Alright, answer that hail.
Okay, so another Klingon. This guy is much older. Appears on the screen. This guy's name is Bok, and he is the administrator for the Klingon facility, so he's basically Norris Lee's Klingon counterpart.
Is he also a jackass?
We're gonna roll to find out.
Captain, welcome to the IVEX system. I hope Clothar didn't give you too much trouble. He may talk a loud and brash game, but rest assured that I am the authority here for the Klingon Empire, and we have no desire to cause any trouble. We simply want to mine the dilithium here, and if we are left in peace, we will leave you alone. If you like, you're more than welcome to come down and talk in person and join us at our facility.
Ask if they have pot roast.
I'm sorry, I missed your name, sir.
Bok.
Bok.
So, Brian, I'm just going to reiterate the possibility of defecting, because, like, these guys seem real nice and fun. And Lee seems like a jackass.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't blame me, I voted for Bok.
Okay. Bok. Trust me, I had nothing but great conversations with Clotha. I found him extremely engaging.
He's young and stupid, Captain, but sometimes you need those.
Yes, he was quite, we call it cute in our culture.
It's probably good you didn't call him that to his face.
At any rate, me and my officers would be delighted to accept your gracious invitation.
Very well, Captain. I'll send the coordinates up. We'll expect you shortly.
And it clicks off. And before those coordinates come in, you start to get an alert that there is some kind of strange readings coming from the underneath the surface of IVEX 2. So underground.
Captain, I'm starting to get some strange readings.
Maybe come on over here,
Shikana. Come on, take a look.
So if you want to do a scan, go ahead and do a...
Me and Ryan, or Captain.
Whoever is at the science station.
There could be six of us at the science station.
Go ahead and do a control plus science, assisted by the ship sensors and science. Difficulty one.
I'll do the ship.
Thank you. Why am I at the science station? Does anybody want a bagel? I have two bagels.
The science station, for no reason, explodes.
Yeah. So thankfully the ship gets you across that line, but
we'll give you a threat this one.
You're gonna take a threat for this one?
Yeah, we're gonna take a threat.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Teal went to go activate the console, slipped and slammed her face on it instead,
and caused the whole system to reboot in the process by smashing it with her face. Okay. So these sensor readings come in. They are very confusing, but they definitely bear the indications of life signs of some kind. But they...
Underneath Tevex 2?
On IVEX 2, so on the Klingon mining
IVEX,
planet.
Sorry.
So they're very confusing in the sense that sometimes it seems like there's one or several large creatures, and sometimes it seems like there's multiple smaller creatures, and those sort of life readings meld and split and
so are constantly in flux. So it's Muppet Man, basically?
It's what?
Muppet Man.
I don't get that reference.
You know, when all the Muppets stack up together and wear a trench coat.
Sure, maybe.
It's Muppet Man.
If you had done better on the sensor roll, then maybe your sensors would tell you.
Teal's best assessment is, I think it's Muppet Man, Captain.
Captain, we got Muppets.
We got Muppets.
Holden breaks in. Sir, I don't think it's Muppets.
You don't know. You weren't there.
Okay.
I mean, maybe you know.
Now rise for the Klingon anthem.
Manamana.
Was there any other event that coincided with the start of this phenomenon?
Not that we can tell. All of the various aspects that we are assuming have some kind of underlying common cause started happening around the same time. So the premature aging of some of our colonists, as well as the vines prematurely aging and withering, and the degradation to the physical structures all seem to happen around the same time.
Is there a geographic nature to the effects? Is this happening in only certain geographic areas, or is it happening, does a whole family get affected, or just certain members of the family?
There's no geographic localization that we are aware of. It is on and off, so it happens, you know, on some kind of a periodic schedule about every, like, 19 hours or something like that. It's not exact, but it's regular that way.
How much do people... what is the aging effect every 19 hours? Do people age by what you would term a couple of years or a couple of decades or what?
Yeah, it seems to be... Well, let me introduce you to the Mackleys. And so she leads you over to their household. And there's the husband and the father, Wes, the wife, mother, Aurelia, and their son, Efren, who is... according to them, about 2 months old, but physically it has the development of a 2-year-old. But mentally is still very clearly a 2-month-old, and, you know, is nonverbal, has the motor coordination of a 2-month-old, but very clearly has been prematurely aged by whatever this thing, this phenomenon is. Obviously the parents are rather in distress. Wes, you know, introduces you to Efren, and kind of shows you his condition. He hasn't started speaking yet, and he's unable to walk, but he can kind of crawl a little bit.
I asked the governor if she's ever seen the old Earth movie Jack, and if this is a lot like Jack.
Sounds like.
So, let's see. Dr. Teal, go ahead and do a reason medical task with a difficulty of 1 for me.
And what is this accomplishing?
So this is like a you're basically scanning the kid, checking him out.
While this is happening, I'm describing the complete plot of the movie Jack to Governor Serena.
She rolled a success.
Good job.
And you succeeded. So basically, your scans tell you that there is no underlying genetic disorders, right? So. As Commander Goodspeed would undoubtedly have explained just now, Jack is a movie about a human with a disease called progeria, which is premature aging. Right, Commander Goodspeed?
That is correct.
Yeah.
It is not the movie Jack Reacher, which first came up in my databanks, but no, it is the movie Jack.
Right. So there's a human disease called progeria, which is premature aging, which is which is what happens in the movie Jack. But that is not what Efren here has. Progeria is also a genetic disorder that would have been screened out as part of a Federation citizen's normal kind of prenatal care. So,
okay, so this is not Jack disease.
It is definitively not Jack's disease.
Okay, which is good, because it only got a 19% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm glad to hear that from a medical standpoint.
Agreed.
Which 90 or 19?
19.
Really?
Which I feel is unfair, because yeah. I like that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Todd McCarthy of Variety called it tedious, uneventful fantasy. Captain, I have a recommendation if you'd like to hear it.
Go ahead, Commander.
I'd recommend we beam a couple of the citizens up to the ship. We can do it to the holodeck and recreate something that won't freak them out. I don't know how modern they are. Are these people modern people? Have they seen the inside of Starship?
Well, first of all, remember, your ship doesn't have a holodeck.
There's your first problem.
These are otherwise completely modern Federation citizens. They're colonists. They know the galaxy exists and all that.
So, Captain and Dr. Teal, with your concurrence, we could beam a couple of folks up to the ship and keep them in containment, some sort of a quarantine facility on board the ship, maybe in the med bay, wherever, and maybe check in with them. If this thing happens every 19 hours, it would be good to take a few people who it has happened to and see if it happens when we get them off the planet.
Yeah, I would agree with that plan.
So you're saying take them off the planet to see if that has an effect.
I'm just trying to squash variables here, Captain.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Anybody in particular? I mean, you've only really met the Mackleys.
Well, I can't. About it. You can't abduct the first people you see. But
I mean,
it's Starfleet 101.
I'm sure if you called them up on their communicator frequency and like, hey, we want to remove your child from this life-threatening situation for the time being.
Yeah, they would probably. I mean, okay, we would take them all as a family. Like, we're not trying to rip the kid away.
Yeah.
Right.
We should probably also take some biological samples. Like,
sure.
Okay.
Like you know, take some vines and whatnot.
Let's sample it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just gonna. You guys can just do that. I'm not gonna make you do anything special to do that.
Is the next 19-hour cycle hitting? By the way.
Good question. Not for a while yet.
You have 3, 2, 1.
You have several.
After the commercial break.
several hours before it hits.
Wait, is everybody on the same schedule?
It's not that easy to tell.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, and 13 minutes after the hour, you know, everybody suddenly ages.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, you send some samples back up to the ship. Are you sending the Mackley family or somebody else?
If they're game, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So you send the Mackley family up to the ship, and they're hanging out in the ship's sick bay for the time being.
Okay, and I want to be clear that we've cordoned off that part of sick bay so that if this is something exposed in the environment, that it won't infect the ship.
Okay, yeah. Okay. They are in a special quarantine section of sickbay.
Okay.
And being tended to the rest of Dr. Teal's medical staff.
But open a channel to the Chicago.
Captain Reynolds here.
I like it. It's good to see you. Look, I don't mean to impose, but I hope you have the chips and dip ready because we're about to bring a party to you. A couple of Galore-class cruisers will be on our tail, and we're about to set course at full steam your direction.
Okay, acknowledged. We'll be ready.
All right, set course, maximum warp, and meet us halfway. Unless somebody has a different idea.
I think it's a great idea. I love it. I love it.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
So two of the cruisers keep up with you.
You know, Brian, you don't have to.
Wait, can I suggest, before we press the button,
yeah,
did the ship explode yet?
It didn't explode, but the life support has failed at this point.
Can I suggest that we just fire off a phaser off of our starboard side to blow it up as a little bit of a distraction, a little bit of a smoke bomb?
I like it.
I like it too.
You can roll if you want to roll for it. Sure.
Yeah, that's a Holden thing, right?
If it's close enough, would it damage them if it exploded?
Nah.
Okay. Well, that's fine, but I want to open a quick channel to the Kraxen, and right before we hit fire, I'm going to say, Gul Krim, there's an expression we have back on Earth. Happy 4th of July. When I cut the screen.
There's an expression we have on Earth. It's, Biff, what the hell was that?
Please make this an easy task for the drama, Brian.
Yeah, well, it's a...
You fire it's a... any... Oh, my God, if we miss. Federation ship. What?
It's just a... Well, are you using phasers or torpedoes? And then it's just that attack, which is the standard one.
Let's go crazy and use a torpedo. That'll do it. That'll do the trick.
You're going to make both?
What?
No, I think you said a torpedo.
A torpedo.
Oh, sorry. Okay, you cut out there for a second. Okay. Control security, difficulty 2.
That would be you, Holden.
All right. And then someone else roll for the ship, because I did not do well last time.
Goodspeed, you roll for the ship.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And that would be weapons and security.
Okay. Okay. Success.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So the Kelebec goes up in bright flames.
And immediately we hit the button and warp.
Okay. Oh, we don't even wait. We fire the torpedo and then warp.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah,
like dropping the mic almost.
Oh, that's super. Yeah, that I like that plan. That's what we did.
That's what we already did in the past a moment ago.
Okay. Okay, so you got one success, but you needed two. So you try to get your arm down to your waist where your phaser is, but you can't quite get it there.
Captain, help me. Why are you blocking Panther? Let him help me.
And as you say that, that's the very last thing you manage to get out before the alien creature fully subsumes you. It rises over your head, and you are now fully encased in this...
See? Did you hear that? Creature. She said, I'm fine.
No, I'm dead!
So, Captain, I'm going to give you one last chance to either do something or not, and then the next thing happens.
If this is the death of my character, I swear to God.
Way to go, Tasha.
I know.
So, Captain, choose what you're going to do.
I turn my gun off of Panther and I fire at the entity.
Okay, make a control of security.
Oh, good.
So go ahead.
Am I just gonna be Eel for the rest of the series?
Glad you diversified.
Okay.
Apparently.
So you succeeded at that task. So go ahead and roll damage. Okay. So you did. Let's see. 5 points of stress. The creature has no resistance, so that's enough to cause an injury. It wilts off of Dr. Teal and kind of retreats back into the cracks of the cave and is gone for a moment, but not for very long. In the next moment, it kind of reemerges and even more of this material starts emerging from all the cracks in the walls. And now it's what was like about a, you know, 1 cubic meter... size creature is now a 5 cubic meter size creature, and it's now emerged and coalesced in the cavern floor where it first started.
All right, so as a quick side note, I have now updated Panther's character sheet to include a focus of good officer to state that, like, if he's following commands or doing something for the normal thing, that he would have a focus to option do that, as well as a value of chain of command.
Okay.
So yeah, he essentially, he has a value that he will follow the chain of command regardless.
That's a great use of using circumstances to build a character.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Yeah.
So there's an arrow added.
Okay. So now this much larger version of the creature appears in the space in front of you. It is even more active with the lights and the colors and the rippling than before. And as it coalesces, as it finishes coalescing into one large creature, the whole thing lurches towards you.
Towards who?
All of you.
All of us. All of us? Yeah, it sounds like all of us. Yeah.
Nope. I'm running toward the shuttle.
Yeah, well, so the shuttle's in orbit. We could beam out, correct?
Oh.
No, you're too far underground.
We're in the
you'd
cave.
You'd have to get back to the surface to beam out.
Running.
Mm-hmm. And you'd have to wait. Yeah, you beam down from the Tempest, and the Tempest is at the other planet, so...
Well, we left a... I noted that we left a runabout that they could, like, beam to. If needed.
Oh, did you? Okay.
To come meet us back at the surface
to get to that.
Yes.
If I brought the Tempest over, could I be better than that? Could I get them out where they're from? Because they have comm range.
Yeah, you couldn't get there in time.
Okay.
We're running.
Cool.
We're running.
You're running?
Do my thing.
Okay. Running. Guess what, guys?
Yeah, Panther goes as a "What do we do, Captain?"
Captain, are you running?
I tell him to run, and I drop my phaser and hold my ground.
Wow. Okay. All right. you will confer among yourselves, but the next thing that you have to do is report what you did and what you chose to do to your admiral. But I'll let you guys confer for a minute before we do that.
What I was going to suggest is we tell her that we went down there and we detected the effects of that of the tachyon radiation for the first few hours, and then it stopped. And we don't detect
our
it
ship,
anymore.
Doesn't our ship keep records of shit? Like, there's a bunch of beaming, there's a bunch of... Like, I'd say let's just tell her the truth and be like, we did some stuff back in the day that was really disappointing, and now we've righted a wrong. And if that's a crime, then lock me up.
Sure, you want to go all Picard about it. I kind of want to go Sisko on this.
All right, well, I mean, you're the captain, Captain.
So I want. I kind of want to go Garrick on them. I would say let's
hold in. Go to your room.
I would say let's present it to him because like this is clearly a black eye, and there's totally a chance that them bringing back the Hamilton. Like now they have the Hamilton, and at some point that the secret could come out. So we're now keeping a secret for Starfleet, keeping a secret for potentially that admiral if they actually know what happened.
Yeah.
So like we could cash that in later.
But did you give the Romulans permission to make the information public to embarrass the Federation?
Yes, to embarrass
the Federation. Which they could do...
They're going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Federation could always just deny, but...
Right, but we know the truth, and we have proof of the truth, so...
But the Romulans also have the proof, because you gave them the ship.
Well, they have proof that the Hamilton still exists, but not necessarily the weapon.
Yeah, I mean, they have a certain amount of proof, right? Like, so they can show that they have the ship and the damage that happened to the ship, and they can, you know, present their story, and they have enough evidence that they could raise legitimate points, right? So not everybody's going to believe them, but they have enough that, you know, it's going to be not good for the Federation.
I'll take my vote aside, and since there are three senior officers, we'll have a vote.
I mean, there's no vote. You're deciding.
We're talking about going directly against Starfleet Command. So it's not something that Maddox would force upon his crew.
I mean, my suggestion is to go with Goodspeed in the sense that we tell her what happened. But I would just do it and then hold it over them.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I'm proud of me too.
This was a test the whole time.
And you failed.
Okay, Admiral, you could take off the Romulan wig.
Maybe the real tachyons were the friends we made along the way.
Okay, so
I would also note that it'd be interesting, like from Maddox's standpoint, to at least try to glean if that admiral had any idea about it at all. Because if they had no idea, then this will all be news to them. But it's entirely possible they knew this because they're higher up in the ranks of Starfleet.
So that's actually a fairly substantial question in my opinion, right? Is like, how much does this admiral know and how is she going to react? Is she going to be like, oh shit, you guys figured it out? Or is she going to be like, oh my god, I had no idea. I can't believe Starfleet did that.
Yeah.
So, It's your estimation of how, you know, which one of those two ways is she going to react.
If she knows, then you absolutely are like, we kept your secret, so I'm going to call in a favor later. If she has no idea, then you kind of just are just reporting the truth of what happened and figuring out what happens from that point on.
So, is that, you guys are going to report the truth?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. You make your reports, and you actually make it in written form, like you write up a report as standard procedure, and then she communicates with you. Later the next day in private,
in the brig, room. When I'm in the brig.
Yeah, in your ready room. It's clear, even though she's a Vulcan and she's very stoic and unexpressionless otherwise, it's very clear that she did not know about the origins of this test. She asks how you found out, because you skipped over that part in your report. Are you going to confess to hacking into Starfleet classified files?
No.
Captain?
We could say we got it from the onboard ship log.
Yeah, you can.
We did, except we didn't learn it at the ship.
Yeah, we wouldn't be lying.
Yeah.
That's a fair lie. So you're not going to confess the fact that you hacked into Starfleet records without authorization. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, we just learned it from the ship's log.
Okay. Yeah, she is. She's aghast, at least as aghast as a Vulcan can be. She's not pleased that you gave the Hamilton to the Romulans, or that you've basically given the Romulans ammunition to. Sorry, pause, cat.
Ugh. That's a weird thing for the Romulans to say.
She is not.
I hope you just like shot putted the cat as you grunted.
I did, and she's like 16 or 17 pounds, so it's not easy to do. So picking it up, Admiral Talara is not happy about the fact that you gave the Hamilton to the Romulans. Even if it is old and doesn't have any technical secrets worth worrying about, you still gave a Federation starship to the enemy, and that's not great. She's also not happy that you gave the Romulans ammunition to embarrass the Federation diplomatically down the road. Even though there are no ongoing relations between the Federation and the Empire right now, there's no ambassador, there's no embassy, there's no ongoing negotiations of any kind, it's still ammunition they can have and hold on to in the long term and deploy the right time to get some kind of concession they want.
They don't have a tachyon weapon that ages everyone, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
But ultimately, the most important aspect of the mission is that they did not walk away with the weapon itself, and that you definitely achieved.
Hey!
You took the tachyon weapon back with you to the Tempest with the intent of destroying it, and you also wiped the plans of it from the Hamilton's computer, so the Romulans don't have access to those either. And now, with the colonists of Carina 7 safe and sound, once again, the Tempest triumphantly warps away to her next adventure.
Should we put the Mackleys back?
Oh no.
And you are now on the other side of the Federation.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Please hold. Your call is very important to us, and we will get to it as quickly as we can. The cataclysm is frightening for everyone. Remember, in times like these, we need to stick together more than ever. If you need emergency assistance, please call 999.
Your position in the queue is 333.
Hello, you've reached the Cataclysm Casualties Hotline. Can I take your name and date of birth?
Peretti Green.
Morgan Jones.
Hugh Jin Liu.
Gwen Turner.
Just call me Di.
Okay, and who are you calling for today?
My mum, Shan Thomas. She was in Aberystwyth.
Matthew and Louise Turner. In Kirkwall, on Orkney.
My father, Kai Liu. Ben Jones.
I saw something on the news about a sea-serpent.
He's 15 years old.
Anna and Sophie Green, in Portsmouth.
What's happening in Kowloon?
Listen, is this real? I've been seeing news reports about dragons.
Well, let me look that up for you. Where are you calling from today?
Bristol.
Leicester.
I'm so sorry. It looks like we haven't got anyone listed under that name on the database. This means they haven't been listed as a fatality. Call back tomorrow, and if you haven't heard anything from us or your loved one in 3 days, try the online form. I know this is scary, but it's okay. We're going to get through this. Together.
Camlann, a post-apocalyptic audio drama by Ella Watts, inspired by folklore and Arthurian legends. Coming January 2024. Produced by Tin Can Audio.